This podcast is brought to you with Strongbow. Hey, Huns, did you have the summer of greatness? This summer, Strongbow has partnered with HunsNet to bring you the best pride season ever. And we hit the road sprinkling some Strongbow greatness in the only way we knew how. From London to Manchester, we brought the ultimate pride warm-up parties at the Strongbow Takeabout brunches presented by HunsNet in and around Pride weekends. Not only that, Strongbow came back for Fabuloso in the Park at Brighton and Hove Pride for one massive party at the Strongbow Stage of Greatness. Thanks for getting so involved and helping to make this Pride season the best ever with Strongbow and HunsNet. Over 18s only, please drink Strongbow responsibly. For more information, visit bedrinkaware.co.uk.
We've been away for a while, but we're back now and we've got some surprises for you. Yes, after our extended summer break, myself and the gorgeous Electra are back for another episode of That's So Hun. Electra, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm back. Obviously, well, I've been away for a while, one episode. I went for eye surgery. That's why I'm wearing sunglasses indoors.
I thought you were just doing an Anastasia tribute.
Oh, no, wait, that's Shakira.
Shakira, yeah.
No, don't do it. But yeah, I am so excited for this podcast because this episode, you've got a really good guest on.
We have got a really good guest and I think that there's some history there. I reckon that our guest who we're going to meet shortly is going to have some tea on you because I think, see what we did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Tea on you. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get straight into it and meet this week's guest. It's the Hun and only Queen of the World, winner of UK versus the world, RuPaul's Drag Race, UK versus the world. I'll say it again. UK versus the world. Tia Coffey!
Yes!
Hi, Hun. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Just getting on with it, Hun, you know, lurching from crisis to crisis and recording podcasts.
Very that. Understandable. How are you?
Understandable.
You're so welcome for that one.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll take that. Copyright that. I'm very well, Tia. I'm very well. I'm a huge fan of yours, as you know. I do love you a lot, actually. Quite a lot, actually. I've had this top on since watching you on Versus the World.
You haven't changed.
I haven't changed, yeah.
Oh. How long have you known each other? Let's have a drag catch up.
Well, we met...
Week and a half?
Something like that, maybe.
A bit longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer, yeah. Did you say a year and a half or a week?
I said a week and a half.
Oh, a week?
Yeah, I was like, I'm doing a bit.
No, I think I met you just before Drag Race Season 3 was announced.
Yeah, I think so.
At the park in... somewhere. There was a park.
There are lots of parks.
Lots of parks.
Please don't tell me you were dogging.
That's it. I bet you were dogging.
Yeah, you flashed your lights.
Flashed your lights and you came running over. No, we met at that park. I don't know where the park was. Moat Park.
And
then
right.
We had that famous picture together.
Yeah, iconic. Oh my God, that was Canterbury, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
That was a good time. That was the first time we met. It was also the first time I met Christopher Sayce.
Yes.
Indeed.
But we're in the same room.
It was
an infamous photo where I look 18 feet tall and you look like teeny tiny.
You are a leggy lady. How tall are you?
6'5" out of heels. But of course I'm wearing heels right now.
Of course, yeah.
See, I'm professional.
You're just fulfilling the fantasy, right?
I am.
So Tia, you've had an amazing year, obviously winning the show. You've done some amazing things. You're working on Heartstopper at the moment, right?
Yeah, the Heartstopper official podcast, which you can listen to where you get all your podcasts. And of course, you can watch it on YouTube, on the Netflix Still Watching YouTube account. They didn't tell me to say that. I just said it because I want people to watch it.
Hun,
it's really good.
If you, we love a plug here. You plug whatever you want.
Oh,
I've got a plug in right now.
So how did that all come about?
So it is sort of like little teasers, little morsels,
little nuggets.
I don't like the word nuggets.
I love a nugget. But
it gives you like a little taste of what is to come on Heartstopper Series 3.
An amuse-bouche.
Very that.
These words you two are coming out with, I am so lost. What's an amuse-bouche? Is that not like...
It was a comedy show on Channel 4. It was on ages ago.
Oh, I wasn't poor. It's
like a little thing that you eat before a meal.
You know that all those envelopes that you go to those events, you go to like the opening of an envelope that you always go to. You know when people are walking around with those trays with those tiny little things.
That's a canopy in it.
Yeah, it's an amuse-bouche.
Wow, I've learned something new every day.
Exactly.
Amuse-bouche. It means fun mouth.
You know a lot about that as well, don't you? Not only are you doing the podcast, you actually recorded the song as well, didn't you?
I did record the theme tune for the Heartstopper official podcast.
Wow.
I know. That's multi-talented.
Major. How long has it been since you won the show?
Only about 7 months ago, actually.
Oh, it's because there's lots of Drag Race on, isn't there? Because it's just like, it's relentless, isn't it? I mean, I love it.
So it's relentless. We'll leave then. Sorry about that.
No.
I'm on about
I'm on about the series of like, there's just, you're just constantly getting served it. And I love it. I'm into the Global All-Stars a bit. But I much prefer Canada versus the World.
Canada versus the World was so good.
Yeah. I really like Binge Queens for Global All Stars. That's my favourite way to consume Global All Stars. Why? Because I'm on it.
I love Binge Queens. One day I will be on that. And you are so funny on Binge Queens. You and...
Hannah Conda.
Yeah, Hannah Conda, sorry. You and Hannah Conda are so funny on it.
Thank you.
You say what's in your mouth, it comes out, and I love it.
Do you know what? I appreciate that because Theresa May, I hope she's okay with me saying this, maintains that her favourite thing about me is that I am honest and direct. I don't speak a lot.
What, the former Prime Minister?
Choriza. Sorry, I didn't have my Spanish accent on.
There you go.
But yeah, so that's now how I'm living my life since Theresa's complimented me on it. I'm like, I'll just say the truth.
Yeah, of
course. You still enjoy it now you've been through the process? Because obviously you know how long it takes times to like set up things and how, you know, maybe it's not filmed in chronological. Can you still enjoy it as you may have enjoyed it prior to being on the show?
Yeah, I can actually, because I think there's a lot of people who come off the show and they go, I can't watch it anymore. And I'm like, that's probably because you're bitter about your experience. Calm down.
Yeah.
I love it. I still watch it. I think it makes for better viewing that, like, I can sit there with my boyfriend and be like, pause. So what just happened there was they just moved that from over there and this is why that happened. Like, I love it. I feel like I'm, like, the CEO of World of Wonder when I watch it because I'm like, ooh.
Is there something, and you've both been through the process, is there something that, like, people take for granted or that they just don't know about the show that would surprise them, like from how it's put together versus how it comes on, you know, when it's screened?
Like Rue's in the room with you.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think that's amazing. And no, that wasn't the question, was it? But I just answered it totally differently.
No, that works. But like people take for granted.
Yeah. I think like when the cameras aren't rolling, Rue does have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
She doesn't just like stop talking. Which did with the two episodes I was on.
I think one thing that people take for granted, I really struggle with it, is like, as a performer, I'm like looking round, like entertaining like a crowd of people. And when I watch back my lip syncs, I'm like some people are like able to just like look Rue in the eye. That is a bright light that I'm staring at right now. People are able to like stare Rue down and like give her the entertainment. When I watch my close-ups back, I'm like looking over there at a story producer, looking over here at someone who's just cable bashing so it's not a trip hazard anymore. I'm trying to entertain everyone and they've all got to stay silent. And I'm like, oh look, it's Flair from the Queen team. Let me like give her a little something.
I will say this, there are a lot of people in that room.
Yeah.
People think the judges are just there. Yeah. There are like camera crew and everyone.
Well, one thing that I noticed, I now know it because I think they show this angle more, but the judges aren't directly in front of you. They're on the side, aren't they? They're sort of on to the diagonal.
Yeah, an angle.
Yeah, I think they show that angle on TV now, but for a long, long while, just the way that it's filmed, you think that they're directly in front of you. So to your point of like not knowing, you know, where to look, and obviously there's the cameras. And did you find when you went back, because you'd been through the process, you kind of knew you could kind of hone your performances and things like that because you knew. No, you just went with it.
Yeah, because like the thing is, and I'm sure you'll agree, when you are lip syncing for your life, it actually feels like Rue has handed Michelle a rifle and it's pointed at you. When you're lip syncing for the win, I'm like, I'm through to next week.
Yeah.
So I'm like very chill.
I would love to like experience that because like obviously like you are right when you're lip syncing for your life, it's like you are, is Michelle going to snap at me?
Yeah.
Like,
it fully feels like.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And when you get eliminated, I don't know if you agree, but like, you're sort of like, oh, I can breathe again. It's not that bad. Like, I'm not, I have not lost my life to a gunshot from Michelle Visage. Like, I'm fine.
Brilliant. We've got some great Drag Race tea there. So, as you know, this podcast is all about Hun culture, and Drag Race and drag queens sort of fit into Hun culture quite nicely.
I see that.
Yeah. The question we ask a lot of our guests is, how would you describe Hun culture to somebody who has got no clue what we're talking about here?
It's an essence.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. It's an ethos in many ways. It is difficult to pinpoint what it is that makes something so Hun.
Yeah.
In the same way that it is difficult to pinpoint the X factor or star quality. It's just something.
Yeah.
A certain je ne sais quoi, a certain joie de vivre, a certain other French phrase that I couldn't think of.
Amuse-bouche.
It's amuse-bouche. Avec moi ce soir.
Très bien, merci.
ABC.
Who are your favourite Huns? Because I think lots of people have loads of different. Obviously, there's the Hun icons, the Gemma Collins. Have you got like a Hun that really speaks to your inner soul?
Right. Well, I don't know if she necessarily qualifies as a Hun, because like, I don't know if she goes into your rigorous categorization of Hun.
Yeah.
But Nicola Roberts of Girls Aloud.
She's a Hun.
Yeah.
I don't know. She gives like, because she's got like the fashion, the essence, the styling. Yeah. She almost borders away from Hun.
Yeah.
But I do think sort of like Dance to the Beat of My Drum era. She hosted a reality TV competition show at one point. Had her own makeup line.
She had the knob. Wait, that's what it's called. The knob. The bob.
The Nicola bob.
Was it called a knob?
Was it? There was a name that she called it, no?
That feels quite offensive.
Maybe not knob.
I think it was not called the knob.
You were thinking of the Nicola Roberts
bob.
Pob, weren't you? Like when Posh Spice had a bob.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because I've always thought about Girls Aloud just as a collective, and sometimes I don't think they've lent too much into the Hunness, whereas we all that do that. However, this tour, and their intro at Brighton Pride, and they've just released like some t-shirts with all of their slogans on. So I'm thinking that they are, you know, now embracing their inner Hun a little bit more.
I do think Nicola probably prior to this tour.
Yeah.
Like Kimberly is obviously the most Hun.
Yeah.
Like Hun boots the house down, mama, yes God.
Yeah.
And then I would say Nadine is actually very Hun.
Yeah.
And then Arshez. Very Hun.
Well, the thing is with Chez is that she's always been central to a lot of the things that like we meme and the things that we love in Hun culture. So like X Factor, she's part of all of those moments. The Holly Jervis audition, she is there. You know, the Alexandra Burke Beyonce moment, she's there. So Cheryl's very much like either starring or supporting actress in a lot of these scenes. whereas Nadine has got like quite a lot of the catchphrases that we love. Kimberly, obviously, with her subtle sage at Wix Paint, that is Hun. But you're right, Nicola isn't overtly Hun, but I think that, yeah, I reckon she is a Hun. She's there.
She does have Hun energy. She was giving the vocals on this latest tour, though. Like, I was blown away.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need to accept this person is my Lord and Saviour at this point.
The Strongbow Summer of Greatness is drawing to a close, but what better way to accompany the change of season than with Strongbow's new flavoured ciders? We've got Tropical, a taste partnership of mangoes and pineapples. We've got Zest with the citrus vibes of oranges, lemons and limes. And we've got Strawberry. Well, with strawberries, of course. The question is, do you think Strawberry will be stunning? Tropical the tastiest, or Zest is best? The choice is yours. Over 18s only, please drink Strongbow responsibly. For more information, visit bedrinkaware.co.uk.
So every week on the pod, we ask our guests to bring in something that they think represents Hun culture, or that you or you think, do you know what, this is so Hun. Have you got something for us here?
Yeah, so I bought two things. I'm not going to lie to you. I had two other things prepared, but I stayed at my boyfriend's and then forgot that I had to bring things until today. So these are maybe things that might have just been on the bedside table.
That's fine.
The first thing that I'm going to present that I feel is very Hun, and you've got to stay with me on this, is Juno Dawson's Queen Bee. Iconic author Juno Dawson, herself extremely Hun.
Yeah.
Writing about Anne Boleyn, the Hunnest of Henry VIII's wives. And I feel like I've let everyone down by taking this to a cerebral place of history and also book authorship. But also, bow down, witches. Hun tagline.
Bow down, witches. I love that.
I love the fact that we can... That's what I love about Hun culture, is that you can take something, whether that be a historical event, potentially sometimes a catastrophic event, you know, like a royal event, and bring it down to Hun vibes. And I think if we can do that with Henry VIII, I think that is definitely Hun. What are you talking about? What are you laughing
I'm
at?
Laughing at you just saying that. Kind of a catastrophic event. Can I ask a question?
You may.
If you had to play one of Henry's wives, if you have to be, go back in the time, which one would you be?
What if I had to be one of them?
Yeah.
Like, exist their lives?
Yeah.
Kathy Parr, probably.
Kathy Parr!
No, I'd go for Anne of Cleves.
Right.
Because she was a technical divorcee, mm-hmm. but Henry essentially, I believe, had her declared his wife. His sister, sorry. So... They were like sisters in, like, siblings in the Lord's eyes or something, so they could no longer be married, which meant she had certain advantages, including like a massive castle to live in Richmond and like loads of money, and she could like boss people around.
So she had the perks of being a wife but without having to fulfill the duties, or vice versa.
Yeah, she had the perks of being like in the royal family without like being having I guess she must have had some duties around the castle.
like Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Very that.
If I tell you what, on the subject of Henry VIII, if we had to choose Huns for as wives for Henry VIII.
Wait, are we doing it as Six the Musical, or as like, are we casting Six the Musical with Huns, or are we casting Henry VIII's wives as Huns?
The latter.
Okay, I can't. I'm gonna still do it. Six the Musical, because I
do it. Yeah, let's say, whichever makes it easier. What Huns should we cast?
Letitia Dean, Sharon Watts.
Yeah.
Is, oh my god, I was about to say the actress from Six the Musical's name because I forgot Jane Seymour's real name, but she's peak Jane Seymour.
Yeah,
yes.
She's got the loyalty.
Yeah,
she's a proud sort of like mother
staunch
energy. Yeah, very that.
Can Jay McDonald please play Anne Boleyn?
Okay,
you can go with this and veto, because you I think that you are the true fan.
I'm taking this desperately seriously. I think Jane McDonald probably has more Catherine of Aragon.
Okay.
Energy.
As long as she's in it, I don't mind.
Yeah, she can be Catherine of Aragon. It's a big sing in the musical as
okay.
well.
Okay, yeah, you need Jane's vocals for that.
I'd love to see like a you know when she did those like cruising covers.
Yeah.
I want to see
Take at the
Jane McDonald sings Six the Musical.
I'd love that. Do you know what, actually? Danny Harmer.
Yes.
Danny Harmer, Anne Boleyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tracy Beaker.
Yeah.
Anne Boleyn.
I'll tell you what, then. So how many were we missing?
Three.
In
the Sugar Babes.
No, yeah, stick the Sugar Babes. Stick the old lineup of the Sugar Babes in. In the comments below, tell us who you think should join the cast of the musical Six as Huns, as Henry VIII's wives, but played by Huns. You know what to do.
Make sure you smash that subscribe button and leave us a little like.
Can you edit them into the outfits, please?
I'll try my best.
Honestly, if you don't, I'll do it.
I'll try my best.
You brought something else, didn't you?
I did bring something else,
go
yeah.
On. Go on.
This is a wig that I wear a lot.
Okay.
Have you seen this wig?
No.
Have you seen me in this wig?
No.
So this is a ginger bowl cut, which I stand by.
Is this the one which just like all nice cropped around your face like that?
It just sort of sits almost like a beret, I would say.
Put it on. Show us.
Oh, okay. I don't want to tie my hair back, so I'll just put it over the top.
That feels like it could be from like Henry VIII's times. It's got that sort
of
vibe.
Like a poor.
I'm not sure.
You have issues with this wig.
I do. I love it. It gives me like, do you remember when you were a kid and you watched those films, those 90s films, and there was always the mother who was very strict? That is her hair. Like Mr. Bean, the film, the mother in that.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I'm not one to comment on here because...
You can try it on.
Do you mind?
Oh, please. Keep it for the remainder. Like? I feel like this will elevate the hunness of the situation.
What do we think? Is it a yay? Is it a slay?
I think if you just pull it down the side, oh, that's perfect.
Is it a toot or a boot?
That's a shoot.
This is what you look like.
Oh, God. I know. If I wear wigs, I like normally something I can tuck behind my ears. You know, just a bit, you know, like...
You can't... Some of the wigs actually tucked up inside it, so you should be able to, but...
Go on.
Have you ever seen Adam's Family? That's what you look like.
I've showed it to the camera. You're a very nasty girl. Take those glasses off, Electra. Electra, take the glasses off.
Don't take the glasses off. No, I can't.
Why can't you take the glasses off?
Because I've had eye surgery.
Why can't you take the glasses off?
You're a nasty, nasty girl.
Don't come for me again.
See you and me down at the Sugar Hut.
I'll have more blokes around me than you'll have around you. Yes, reference. So what are we calling that wig? Has it got a name? Is it your...
Well, I think it's very chic, but I like to call it the Anne after Anne Robinson.
The Anne Robinson.
It's very that.
I recently got back into The Weakest Link because, no offence to anybody working on the current series of The Weakest Link, but the current series of The Weakest Link I think is so boring. The Challenge TV like rerun all of it, and I've now completed it. They've run years of it.
Like it's a game.
Anne Robinson... is savage. She's just brilliant, and we need Anne back on the telly.
She was brutal.
She was
like brutal,
but very hun as well.
Very hun. Every Ru girl that's gone on that because of RuPaul has said, "Shaka Khan."
Shaka Khan. Yeah. Ru was. If I'm right in saying, Ru had Brat Summer color dress on.
It was a lime green with red sunglasses. Yes. And that is the look that I recreated when I went on The Weakest Link. And it is iconic.
Actually, on the subject of Brat Summer, is Brat Summer hun or is it not hun? What are we thinking?
I think for me, Brat Summer is not hun. Yeah. But Christian Girl Autumn is hun.
Yeah.
That's the era that I'm in now, hence the hair.
Christian Girl Autumn. Christian Girl Autumn.
Are you not familiar with Christian Girl Autumn?
No.
It happens every year. It's not new. Christian Girl Autumn, you wear a scarf, a beret, you have a pumpkin spice latte from wherever you get your coffees. And you take a photo in the leaves, Christian Girl Autumn. Very hun.
When people start, you know, wearing the different tones and then they get the big floppy hats and the people like have like the capes. They go very capey, don't they?
Oh, a little sort of poncho capelet. Very Christian Girl Autumn.
Boots. And then, you know, all the girls together and there's always like a pop knee situation in the pictures, aren't there?
Do you remember that era where like every girl was hand on hip, full tilt to the side, hair down? That's very Christian Girl Autumn.
Christian Girl Autumn. Mm.
It's so funny you mention that because some hun poses, I was thinking about, where did the duck face go? Because that was hun, wasn't it? That's kind of gone.
That's gone now.
Yeah,
where did it go? I don't know. But like, what's the new pause that everyone does? What's the new in pause?
I don't know. Something on Snapchat, a TikTok dance. I'm too old for that now.
What do you get when you're on TikTok? What's your like things that come up on your For You page?
I love that question. And I feel like this is my new thing that I can't do. But if anyone similar vein, I think if you go on a first date, you should ask to see someone's Instagram explore page. Similar thing.
Yes.
Because that tells you a lot about someone.
Okay. Well, I have a very specific Instagram explore page. It's Dr. Pimple Popper. I love it.
Oh, really? Yeah. That surprises me.
I thought it would be like Sharon Watts.
I mean, there's all of that.
Mine's like a very wholesome. Yeah. Mostly drag. Also occasionally a bottom.
Every week on the podcast, we like to bring back something from the Hun archives that has contributed to Hun culture. And we like to discuss them here. It's not you. You're a star guest. Oh. So, Electra, what is in the Hunstery box this week? It's behind you, hun.
Oh, it's behind you. Speaking of behind you, I am in Panto this Christmas.
How plug, are you? Plug, tell, plug. Us, tell us about that. Go on.
I'll plug it. Yeah, I am doing Panto with Amel from the Sugar Babes.
You are?
Beverly Callard from Coronation Street.
Oh, my God, iconic.
Pixie Platt, your drag sister, daughter?
Not daughter.
Mother? Cousin?
Yeah.
We are playing the Wicked Stepsisters in Rill.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, back to the podcast.
Rill is very hard. Very hard.
Yeah, Rill in winter is going to be hun.
Pantel's hun.
Yeah, because because the thing is, everybody like Rill is a seaside town, and I've lived in seaside towns for quite a long time in my younger years. And in the summer, all candy floss and bloody toffee apples. In the winter, it's something very different. Are you staying in Rill?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Can we get some updates from you whilst you're there?
Well, you're going to come see my show, right?
I'm busy, I think. Of course I'm going to come and see it.
If you're not there and I don't get flowers backstage, I'll be very, very, very upset.
Yeah.
I'm just, what's the word? Prolonging. Because I don't know what this is.
Shall I do the Hunt Street Box then?
What is it? Oh, I know what it is.
Yes.
It's because it's got the cover off.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is it?
So yeah, every week on the podcast we bring back something from the archives, something that has been so monumental to Hun culture, and this in the box, Electra.
In this week's Hun Street Box is Katie Price's book, Being Jordan.
Yeah.
So this is the Old Testament of Hun. This is for me. This is like the. Because everybody's had an autobiography. Have you had an autobiography yet? Have you got one in the works?
I do, young.
I have not, and I do not.
Would you, what would your autobiography be called?
My autobiography, what would it be called? Spilling the Tea. probably.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Spilling the Tea.
No, I'd want it to have like more of a like intense name.
Yeah.
Like very that.
We can workshop it.
Yeah.
We can workshop it and come back to it.
Leave a comment below if you can come up with a name for all of our autobiographies.
Like that of you in your autobiography.
That's honestly, I've had a lot of soy milk and my tits are currently looking like that. Not even a joke.
So the reason why we got the Being Jordan autobiography, because it was the first of its kind of like celebrity from the Hun years. And it's in fact one of the most autobiographies that you'll see at a car boot sale, which is very Hun.
How is that fact?
I think it's just every time. It's basically me every time I've gone to a car boot sale. I've seen it.
Very funny.
Have you got a favourite?
Smell it.
I love the smell of books.
Have you got a favourite celebrity autobiography that you've read? Any of you?
Do you want to go first?
I mean, mine's really boring. The one that I've got on my shelf that I sort of like reach for is the Gemma Collins.
Yeah.
Is it How to Be a Diva?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I like mentally reference the most, and I've never read it, but it's Chantel from Big Brother when Simon Amstel's reading pages out of it on that one episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks to Preston, her ex-husband.
That was, yeah.
That's like solid in my brain as like the best like Hun autobiography moment.
Yeah,
I think Chantel Houghton's first. She's had one, and she. I think that's probably. I've not read it myself. I actually feel quite bad that I've not read it.
Mm.
In fact, I'm going to put it on the reading list.
It might be available on Kindle. Kindle. You never know.
Mine was Michelle Visage's Diva Rules, right? Mm. And before Drag Race, I met Michelle Visage when she was doing Jamie with her amazing Northern accent. And she was playing the school teacher. And I saw her back afterwards to get her autograph. And I was like, oh my God, I love your book. It's the first book I've ever read. Because I'm not a reader, you know, I don't really.
Are you like a magazine flicker?
I'm more of a podcast kind of girl.
Yeah.
And she told me off, she went, "That's if you're not read," like she mentioned some books that I won't say on here. And I was like, no. She was like, can you not read? I was like, I can actually, thank you, Michelle.
That was the first book you've ever read?
Well, no, I
don't
read
mean
like,
to sound judgmental.
No,
but
I've read like
Heat Magazine
or
Argos Catalogue.
Oh, I love the Argos Catalogue.
Yeah, what have I got on my shelf? So on my shelf at home, I've actually got loads of celebrity autobiographies. I've got Whitney's, which I think was written, obviously not by Whitney. Danny Minogue, I revisit hers quite often. Kerry Katona's is really, really good. I've got Callum Best's as well.
Rome.
Wait,
yeah.
So Rome. If you've read them.
So it's time to recap all of the items that we have discussed, delved into, and uncovered this week on That's So Hun, and we crown one item, That's So Hun of the week, and ask it to take a bow. So we've had Explore Pages. thought that was quite Hun. Amuse-bouches and the rest of the French language that we murdered.
Oui, oui, baguette.
Going to free events and parties just for the amuse-bouches.
Very season three.
The Knob and opening for Girls Aloud. Henry VIII, Hun Wives and Christian Girl Autumn. So you've got to choose something that is so that you think is so Hun this week. So Electra, what are you going to go for?
Mine is the Mouge Bouge. The Mouge, what is it? Mouge Bouges?
Amuse Bouge.
The Mouge Bouge Bouge. What is it?
Amuse Bouge.
Amuse Bouge.
Like the word
mine's
amuse.
That. Yeah. Because I think you've made that word up, you two. You're trying to trick me because it's not. It's a canapé.
Right. Okay. Tia.
I really want to say Queen Bee, the Sunday Times best-selling book by Juno Dawson. But I'm actually going to say, listen, I'm just a good friend. Also, she doesn't need me to promote it for her. It's a good book. It does it itself. I'm going to say Christian Girl Autumn.
Christian Girl.
I think that's extremely Hun, purely from the aesthetic standpoint. And I do believe that you can still experience a Christian Girl Autumn regardless of your religious beliefs. It's not specific to Christian girls.
I'm going to go with that as well because I really feel that we've exhausted Brat Summer. I think that that's over. And I think that we need something to cling on to you know, channel ourselves to, you know, channel our efforts into. And I think that the weather's on the turn. Summer's over. Mm-hmm. All we are is apart. The nights are so cold now.
Steps.
So I'm down for a bit of Christian Girl Autumn. So yeah, Christian Girl Autumn has been crowned That's So Hun this week. So Tia, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Have you enjoyed yourself?
I've had a lovely time. Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Tell us when you put when your podcast's out, because you've got your own podcast as well aside from the Netflix.
I do. The Final Frontier, my very own podcast, which someone might be a guest on at some point, is out every Monday. Uh-huh. The Heartstopper official podcast is also out every Monday. Monday's just like podcast day.
You're going to be like Tia on a Monday.
As it should be.
As it should be.
As it should be.
What else is coming up for your Christian Girl Autumn? What things have you got in the pipeline that you can tell us?
Oh, lots of things. More music. Yeah. Living my best life. Enjoying myself. Just like aspiring to like different things. I've got dreams. I've got aspirations. Things I want to fulfill before the end of my reign. So I'm going to do that.
You do it, Hun.
I will.
You do it, Hun. We're all behind you. Well, I tell you what, for that, you're probably going to need a Hunspirational quote to get you on your way. So every week, we always finish the episode with a Hunspirational quote from the gorgeous Electra Fence. What have you got for us this week, Hun?
So this week's Hunspirational quote is, the only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. Mm-hmm.
Stunning that.
That was gorgeous. That's
so
stunning.
Beautiful. Do you feel inspired?
I feel so inspired.
So it basically, you've just got to think about it. If you are blocking yourself from being a person you want to be, I've really messed that up actually. Yeah.
No, it's a good point.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Join us next time on That's So Hun. Like, subscribe, do all of that. Yeah. See you next time.
Smash that like button.
Smash the world.
Smash the world.
And peace.
And peace. So that brings us to the end of another episode of That's So Hun as part of the Strongbow Summer of Greatness. Follow at Strongbow UK on all your social channels for exclusive content, and we can't wait to see you soon, Huns. Over 18s only, please drink Strongbow responsibly. For more information, visit bedrinkaware.co.uk.